Well, good morning, Echo Church family. It is such a joy to share with you today on Easter Sunday. There is simply nothing better than proclaiming, He is not here, He is risen. It's the day when death was forever defeated, ushering in the promise of new life to anyone who calls on His name. We'll be talking on that theme, but I want to share a little different message this year. The title is this, No More Separation. Will you type that right now in the comments section and say to someone seated next to you, No More Separation. Come on, type it online. I want it to stick for us. No More Separation. Of course, here in Indiana and across the country, restrictions are beginning to change. Regardless of what you think about the changes, I think we can all agree, at least in our hearts, no more separation. This is definitely not a political statement. Wherever you're watching from, listen, I encourage you to do whatever your government is asking you to do. This is a real and raw personal and relational statement. I want to see some faces and big smiles. I'm ready for no more social distancing. I want to hug some people. Listen, I'm kind of a germaphobe, but let's shake hands. I don't love crowds, but put me in a baseball stadium full of people chomping on some hot dogs. No more separation. I want to be with people. Again, I'm not saying you should do what is unwise for you. That's not my point. My point is simply this. I miss people. I miss rubbing shoulders and doing life together. I miss talking and not wondering if I'm too close. Come on, type it online one more time. No more separation. For the last year, as a country, we've been divided politically, socially, racially, and I'm desiring no more separation. We haven't seen so many in the church family, and I'm desiring no more separation. And I suspect, like me, in your own heart, there's a hunger for unity and for family and friendship. And it's against this backdrop I think we can begin to understand the climate on that first Easter. Both the angst and desire of the people and the very real separation they felt with God. And it's here that we begin to comprehend the immensity of what Jesus does for us on the cross. I'm going to share a scripture with you today, and I don't know if you've ever heard an Easter message on this short sentence. In fact, it's quite possible that you overlooked it or even wondered why it's even mentioned. But it's one of those small things in the Bible that if you miss it, you miss something substantial. And I would argue that you miss the work that God intends to do through the cross. So let's not miss it today. It reads like this in Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, somebody type that word online right now, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, they saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Will you pray with me? Father, I believe that you want to meet with every person within the sound of my voice today. Our hearts are open. All that you want to do today, God, we invite you to speak. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, say it with me. Amen. Now, some of you just typed an important word, and it's this, behold. Listen, when the Bible says behold, you and I should behold. We should wake up, pay attention. In other words, this is important. You should take notice. Don't miss it. It's a short verse. But don't underestimate what takes place. The curtain is torn in two. And if you think the curtain was torn in two because of an earthquake, you've already missed it. In fact, the order of events are reversed. The curtain is torn in two, and then the earth shook and the rock split. Something happened here, and it was literally earth shaking, literally groundbreaking. What happened here caused the foundations of the earth to burst in celebration. And God gives us a symbol of what happened. The curtain was torn in two. And to understand this, we've got to go backwards to know why it's there. I want to share four things with you today. Here's the first one. The curtain symbolized how sin separated people from God. Let me say it again. The curtain symbolized how sin separated people from God. Now, it's critically important to understand, separation was not God's plan, nor His desire. God made us out of His love. He designed us to be in relationship with Him. If you go back to the beginning of the Bible, God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day to enjoy time with Adam and Eve. Listen, God's not mad at you, disappointed in you, or frustrated with you. God loves you. And at the same time, God is holy. He's separate. He's completely blameless. He's beyond our comprehension, glorious. The Bible teaches us that we are sinful. I know this is not a popular topic these days, right? Of course, no one wants to be told they've done something wrong. We live in a time where culture says it's wrong to say something is wrong. And I think that's wrong. Sinful doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you should be ostracized in community. Listen, sin means that you have done things that were less than God's best for you. You and I have said things, thought things, done things beneath what God wants for you. Spiritually speaking, because sin separates you from God, that means that you are spiritually dead. Your body is living, but your spirit, which is how you commune with God, the Bible says that your spirit is dead. And I wonder if you can begin to see the problem with me. God made you to commune with Him, but our sin creates a separation between us in our sin and God in His holiness. When you are cut off from God, you are spiritually dead. And the Bible helps us see that there must be a penalty for sin. Not because God is mad at you. Remember, God is holy. It's not something that He can turn off. A sin requires a punishment, and God's not messing around with this. After all, sin separates God from His most treasured creation, you. All hate, murder, lies, and abuse, all the brokenness of our planet, it all stems from sin. Look at the scriptures with me. Behold, there's that word again. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. And this grieves God even more than it does us. And the curtain, remember where we started, it symbolizes this separation. In the Old Testament, there were two curtains. The first curtain separated the courts of the temple from the holy place. The holy place represented the presence of God in the midst of Israel, and it was only accessible to priests. It was special and it was set apart, and in it were the table of the bread of the presence and a golden lampstand. Now, this was in the Old Testament, but it's no coincidence that Jesus is called the light of the world and the bread of life. It was represented all the way back then. And there was also an altar of incense. After this was the next curtain, and it marked off what was called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. In it were the Ark of the Covenant, upon which sat the mercy seat, representing the throne of God. The most holy place was accessible only to the high priest and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. They could only walk in with smoke from the altar of incense, and this was to provide a separation or a mask for their own sinfulness. Then they would sprinkle blood from sacrificed animals, which represented the shedding of blood for forgiveness. The high priest must have blood. And listen, if they did anything wrong, anything outside of exactly how God told them to perform this ceremony, they would die. and they would be pulled out with a rope that was tied around their leg before they entered. God didn't take the blood lightly, as it represented the innocent dying for the guilty. The guilty would go free because of the sacrifice. There were two curtains, but this one is the one that was torn in two. It represented the immense gap that sin creates between us and God. So what does this have to do with Easter? Write this down, point two. On the cross, Jesus is both high priest and the sacrifice. When Jesus offers himself on the cross, he's performing two functions. First, the high priest that would perform this ritual for the forgiveness of sins. Every year, an innocent animal would be slain on behalf of the sinful people. They could not leave their life of sin and could not get back to God. There was a separation. But he also offers himself as the sacrifice. Look at it with me in Scripture. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When we read these verses, we should be beside ourselves in awe of God's grace and in horror that the perfect sinless one would offer himself on our behalf. Consider this. Jesus enters the most holy place of heaven, not with a rope around his ankle, but with nails in his hands. Jesus comes not behind a mask of smoke, but naked in front of all. There he would hang, the pure and sinless one, offered on behalf of the sins of the world. So what does this mean? There had to be a punishment for sin. Remember, not because God is mad, but because God is holy. There had to be blood. But the temple sacrifices were made with sinful hands, with the blood of an animal. Jesus is the perfect high priest. He never sinned. He was 100% pure and clean. So Jesus gives his own blood, the perfect sacrifice, the innocent for the sinful. Let me say it another way. Jesus offered himself as the penalty for your sins and mine. And because of what he did, no further sacrifice is needed. He is the once for all sacrifice. Now let me hit the pause button. In our house, if we're all watching something together, someone might yell, pause. Maybe we're watching a movie with lots of storylines that are starting to connect, or it's getting deep, or someone needs a moment to breathe, whatever it is. I think that maybe someone out there needs a second to take all of this in. So let me do a quick recap, because it's gonna speed up from here, I promise you. Your sin separates you from God, and it has since the very beginning. The temple was set up as a place to request God's forgiveness. We couldn't get to God, and the curtains symbolized this separation. The high priest would offer sacrifices on behalf of people's sins every year. But Jesus enters and says, take me, take my blood, and let them go free. He takes the guilty off of God's judgment seat, and he climbs up on it. If you hear one thing, please hear this. You are loved. So loved, in fact, that you were bought with a price. The King of Heaven says, you are worth my life. And I realize this happened 2,000 years ago. But what you've got to understand is that what happened then, it changes everything for you now. And it reminds me of something that happened to me when I was much younger. My family was on vacation to Orlando. I was about to enter the sixth grade and we were traveling with another family. There were three other boys in addition to me and my older brother. When we drove to our hotel, we all noticed this amazing water park. It was all we talked about for days. And at it, there was this amazing activity section where you could surf or boogie board. In our minds, this was the pinnacle of boyhood. There was only one problem. I was pretty small up until about the eighth grade. But I was up to the challenge. I stood in line with the older boys all the way until there was a lifeguard that was checking everybody's height. The older boys made the cut, but I was told, you're too short. So I stood off to the side and watched each of them one by one try their best. They would grab their board, hop on the wave machine, and then one, two, three. They would grab their board, hop on the wave machine, and then they'd wipe out hard. It was awesome. And I couldn't stand the thought of them having great stories, and I wasn't part of it. So I noticed an area on the backside of the wave where there was still a ton of pressure from the water. It was where people were swept away along a long slide when they wiped out. And I don't know how I managed to do this, but I jumped up onto the area unknown to the lifeguard. And as soon as my feet touched the raging water, I was swept away. I knew the water was strong, but it never crossed my mind to consider how this thing ended. The surfing area dropped off at the edge of the lazy river, which seems peaceful. But the two flows of water created a strong undertow at the end. So when I was dropped at the end, I was suddenly trapped under the water. Now, I don't really know how long I was stuck, but it felt like forever. I tried to escape, but I couldn't. It felt like a car was dropped on me. I fought and clawed and tried to swim, but I couldn't get out because I was suctioned under the water. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get out. And finally, as I was struggling for air and exhausted, for just a moment, I stopped fighting. I stopped clawing. I just stopped. And suddenly the water spit me out. I went from certain of my death and demise to floating peacefully down the lazy river. Why does that remind me of what Jesus did on the cross? Like I was in that undertow, some of you are fighting and you're clawing, you're climbing, you're doing whatever you can. And if you're being honest, you're exhausted. You can't catch your breath. But I want you to know this, you are one moment away from real peace and real hope. You can never do enough to rid yourself of guilt and shame or to get rid of all the fear and worry and anxiety. But here's the good news, you don't have to. The God who made you loves you so much that He already made the way. You can stop fighting, and in one moment of surrender, you can live into His freedom. When you say what Jesus did on the cross, He did that for me, watch what happens. Here's point number three. The cross separates you from your sin. Just as the curtain symbolized separation between you and God caused by your sin, the cross separates you from the sin. When God looks at you, He no longer sees your sin. All of your sin was laid on Jesus, and all of God's righteousness was laid on you. Peter says it this way, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And I don't know about you, but I love how amazing it is that God's word and the activities of the earth line up. At that moment that Jesus gave up His spirit on the cross, the curtain was torn. God was forever declaring, there is no more separation. If you receive what my Son did on the cross, there is no distance between us. The only distance is now between you and your old life, your old ways, and the old guilt that you used to feel. You are free, forgiven, and made new. You can't earn it, so stop wearing yourself out, and you can stop trying to figure all of it out. Today, you can receive God's gift. God already paid the greatest price of all, His Son. And if you felt this separation, this hole in your life, maybe you felt a gap between where you are and where you long to be, please hear me. It's time to receive His grace. It's time to stop running. It's time to come home. Remember, sin doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're spiritually dead. Spiritually, you cannot commune with God. You cannot talk with Him. You can't engage His presence. But when you receive in your life what Jesus did on the cross separates you from all the guilt and all the shame. And can I give you one more? The fourth and final point is this. The empty tomb makes you spiritually alive. Perhaps you've wondered before, what's Easter? Like, why is it such a big deal? Here it is. Not only did Jesus triumph over your sin, but Jesus rescued you from death. Jesus made a way for you to retrieve what you were always made to do, enjoy God and live fully in His presence. You don't have to live worn out and frustrated. You can live free and full of life. Look at one more passage with me. It's a deeply theological scripture, but here's what I love. You're going to get it. Like, seriously, because of journeying with me today, you're going to know exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. Read with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So let me join in with the Apostle Paul. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So what do? The Bible says that anyone, and this includes you, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter how much you've gotten wrong. It doesn't matter what you've been through in your past. It doesn't matter how dark your life has been. Listen to me. Jesus died for you. If you believe that He died on the cross for you and that He rose up from the dead to make you alive, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, you will be separated from your sin and you will be made 100% new. Right now, wherever you are, pray with me. You say, yes, this is me. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be made new, set free from my sins. Right now, pray something like this at home. Come on, pray with me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today, I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks so much for worshiping with us online today. If you just prayed with me a moment ago, I want to challenge you to do something right now. Will you text the word ECHO to 94253? Click on the link that we'll send you and then take the bold step of letting us know the spiritual decision that you just made. Don't let what God is doing in your heart stay here. We can help you connect with others and grow in your faith. So right now, text ECHO to 94253 and let us know. In fact, for anyone that's wanting prayer or anyone that's interested in connecting at ECHO or taking some spiritual next steps, text ECHO to 94253 and let us know how God is moving in your heart today. Also, if you have preschool and elementary children, I also want to encourage you to find our videos that we upload just for them. You can find them on our YouTube channel. They're labeled as Midtown and Uptown. Midtown is preschool and Uptown is for elementary students. These videos are a lot of fun and they are a great way to spiritually encourage your family. And finally, if you'd like to give back to God through a tithe or offering, you can do so by visiting echochurch.cc and simply click on the Give button. If you prefer, you can also do this right in the echochurch.cc app. And again, just click on the Give button that is there as well. So many of you have been so generous over the past several weeks and months, and I want to thank you. And I want you to know that God is using your gift to echo His love into the hearts of so many across the Indianapolis area, Indiana, and even beyond, whether it's those that are joining us in person or online. All right, again, thanks for joining us online today. I'm proud of you for joining in with your church family here on Easter. We cannot wait to worship with you next Sunday. And if you can, I want to invite you to join us in person at Avon Middle School South. Otherwise, we'll be right back here on Facebook and on YouTube as well. We love you guys, and we will see you really soon. As we go, let's lift our voices one more time to our risen Lord and Savior. Come on.